You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
Colossians 1 verse 12. Hallelujah. And so, get myself together here. What am I going to say? Okay, yes, I've got myself together. Amen. And many of you know, I've said my testimony many times, that my schooling was a bit of a waste of time, you know. I know it's hard to believe that I wouldn't be like the most well-behaved person in school and be super studious, but the reality, I wasn't. And so I wasted time in school. So the whole of my schooling, I probably missed about 2 to 3 years of all of the schooling I should have got. And so I blame it on that. But I came out of school with no qualifications, none, no qualifications. And I was thinking about this principle, this word qualification, because most of us, well, actually, this is something that is hovering over us most of our lives, this word qualifications. Because even from your very infancy, your parents are usually getting you to walk, getting you to talk, and they're already preparing you for school. From the very earliest ages, your parents, they're preparing you for school. They want you going to a school just like a normal child, and so they're already preparing for that. And when you're in school, the whole time you're in school, how many know that it's not just to have fun? Which is something I wish I learned a bit earlier than I've learned now. But at the end of school, so the whole of your school is that at the end you're going to have some exams and then you're going to come out with some qualifications. How many know that's what you should do? And let me just say this now. I wasn't saved at the time when I was in school, so I wasted that time, wasted my energy. But if you are in school now and you're saved, don't be like, well, Pastor didn't have nothing, so, you know. No, 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 don't use me as an excuse for your laziness, because God's given me some grace because I didn't know. Like Paul said, he did things in ignorance. I did things in ignorance. But while you're in school, do your best. Do the best you can. Come out with the highest grades you can. Believe God that God can use you in that arena. You can do the best. You can still be a good Christian and come out with the best. And so the whole time we're in school, this is part of it, the qualifications. Not only does it hover over you in school, but how many know when you leave school, it still follows you? Because every job you apply for, they ask for your qualifications. So every time, so you could be in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, this thing of qualifications is still hovering over you. And in some vocations, you still have to get qualified to go to the next level of what you're going to do. Not just in education, school, career, business, but even in our recreational events, sports. We understand a team has to qualify to go to the semifinals, or an athlete has to qualify to go to the Olympics. And so all of our life, this word is hovering over us, qualified, qualifications. And so what the world teaches us is this, or life teaches us, that if we work hard, we can gain qualifications. If we are to work hard so that we can gain these qualifications. But can I say to you today, in the kingdom of God, it's not the same as that. In the kingdom of God, it's not exactly like that. And the problem is, many of us, we bring in this mindset. When we get saved, we bring in this mindset that we've had in the natural, of this qualifications hovering over us, and then we bring it into the kingdom of God, and it doesn't quite work exactly the same. And so I want to preach a sermon, qualifications, from Colossians 1 verse 12, and so we want to go through this. The Bible says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Let's pray. Father, we ask You right now that You would help us, Father, to understand Your word. I pray, Heavenly Father, You would give us insight by Your Holy Spirit. Let us go deeper into Your word and let Your word go deeper into us. Change us, and Father, I pray right now, most of all, Jesus would be magnified, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. And so, in this text, what we understand is this, is that we do need to be qualified, because the Bible says that He has qualified us. So, the Bible just doesn't say that we don't need to be qualified. And so, you and I need to be qualified spiritually for the inheritance. We need to be qualified. Look at someone say, you need to be qualified. Yeah, you need it. Amen. Some people, you need this. If you're not qualified, then what that is you would become disqualified. If you're not qualified, so basically, if you don't have the correct qualifications, you are going to be disqualified. So some people are disqualified. I hope no one in this place today is disqualified. Some people are disqualified from destiny. They're not going to reach their destiny. Not everybody that came out of the womb is going to reach the destiny that God had for them. Some people, they're going to miss their destiny. They became disqualified. Disqualified from ministry. Some people, they cannot function in a ministry. They cannot stand as a representative for God to bring ministry because they've been disqualified. The worst is some people are going to be disqualified from heaven. They can't make heaven their home. They're going to be disqualified. Some of you might have read about this, Nesta Carter, this Jamaican athlete. And so basically, he was running in the relay in the London Olympics. Might have been that or maybe before. But he was running in the Olympics. They got gold with Usain Bolt in the relay. They're handing this thing on. And then they went back and did some tests. And they found out that there was some substance in his blood or whatever it was in his system that would have caused an enhance. And so now that gold has been stripped. And so think about this now. He's now been disqualified. It's being appealed at the moment. I don't know how it will go backward and forward. I'm not for or against, but that's the reality of it. And so he was disqualified. But so he turned up to the Olympics. He ran the race and he finished the race. And people saw, gold for Jamaica again. But the reality is, after all of that, he's now disqualified. See, the Bible speaks about being disqualified. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. Listen what the Bible says. But I discipline my body and bring it under subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. How many know that we need to live what we preach? Because the Bible says if you're just preaching to people and you ain't living it, you will be disqualified. And you know how you got to live it? You got to discipline your own body. How many know it takes discipline to live a Christian life? You can't just get up and do what you want, when you want, how you want, and expect to make heaven your home. Second scripture that I have, 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. The Bible speaks that, listen, we need to examine ourselves. Sometimes you need to do an MOT on yourself. I got that from Pastor Jamil when I was hanging out with him the other day. He was speaking about that. So this is what you need to do. You need to do an MOT on yourself. He said examine. He says test. He says know yourself. Sometimes you need to know yourself. How many know that? We need to look at someone and say know yourself. Yeah, you need to know yourself sometimes. 2 Corinthians 13:6. But I trust that you will know that you are not disqualified. Titus 1 verse 16. They profess to know God, but in works, meaning their behavior, they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified from every good work. And so here the Bible says that we must be qualified. A Christian has to be qualified for heaven. You're going to have to make sure that you're qualified, that you're living a life that you actually are qualified. This is what it is. The big question then is this: how do we become qualified? How many want to know how they're qualified? How many want to be sure you are qualified for heaven? I don't want to be like this this Carter guy, that you've run your race and at the end of your race, you know, it's one thing never to make it to the Olympics. You know, most of us will never make it. We're not crying. We're not sitting at home crying about it. Maybe some of you, I don't know, but I'm not. I was never thought I was get there. And that's the reality. Some people never finish the race. But to finish the race and to have the trophy put around your neck, and then for them to say you're disqualified. See, I don't want to be in church looking all Christian. Yeah, I don't want to be running the race and everybody's like, yeah, yeah. And then at the end, stand before God and he says, you know what? Depart from me, I never knew you. How many want to know that they're qualified? How do we become qualified? Well, it says in our text, it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. You are qualified because Jesus qualifies you. You become qualified for everything that God wants for you because Jesus qualifies you. When you got saved, Jesus qualified you. This is wonderful. See, he starts by saying, giving thanks. See, it is God who qualifies us. We don't qualify ourselves. It is God who qualifies you. You cannot qualify yourself. You can pray all you want and you should pray. You can read your Bible all you want. You should read your Bible. You should come to church all you want and like you said, you should. And you can evangelize, but you still cannot qualify yourself. You cannot qualify yourself. The Bible shows us here, it is not you that qualifies you. It is the Father that qualifies you. See, in the world, think about this now. We're talking about qualifications in the world. In the world, you get your qualifications at the end. How many know that? The day you started school, they didn't give you a qualification. How many of you would like that? Those of you in university, as soon as you enroll, you've got your qualification. How many know that doesn't happen? You don't get your qualification at the beginning. You get your qualification at the end. See, this is different than God. God doesn't give you the qualification at the end. He gave you the qualification at the beginning. The day you got saved, you was qualified. The day you got saved, he gave you the qualification. This is the good news of the gospel, that the Bible says that we are qualified. He says the Father has qualified us. See, this is the beauty of the gospel, that we are not working to be qualified, but what we are doing is we are working out our qualification. And let me expound upon that a little bit. The Bible says in Philippians 2 verse 12, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not just in my presence only. How many know that you should not just be a Christian when certain people are around you? Paul says this to Philippians. He says, therefore, my beloved, he's speaking to the guys in Philippi, as you have always obeyed, you're always obeying God. Even, he's saying, not in my presence only. Even when I'm not there, you're still living for Jesus. Can I say to people, let me just throw this out there, is that real holiness is secret holiness. When you can be holy when nobody's looking. When you can say, no, I'm not looking at that website. No one would ever know but God, I'm not looking at that website. When you say, you know, you're talking with someone on the phone and you say, no, I'm not going to say that to her. Even though no one would ever know, only me and her, but I won't say that. That is real holiness. That is the real deal. When no one would know if you lie on that CV. Yeah, I know I got a C, but maybe a C could look like an A. Praise God. He says this, you obey even when I'm not there, but much more in my absence. He says, you're more on it when no one's looking. Oh, my days. And then he says this, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You got to work it out. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The pastor is not here to work out your salvation for you. The pastor is here to preach the truth, the word of God, and give you direction and edify you and raise up your ministry. That's what we're here to do, raise up your ministry. The pastor is not here for high maintenance, low productivity people. That's not the pastor's fault. Because the Bible says here, you've got to work out your own salvation. How many know I got to work out mine? You got to work it out. See, what we're saying is this, is that you don't work for your qualification. You work out your qualification. And some of you are like, what do you mean by that? You don't work for your qualification, but you work out your qualification. Okay, let me give you an illustration here. Imagine you've got one of these old Windows computers. It's mad old. I don't know what Windows they even have now, but say it was a mad old Windows XP. You know, I don't even, some of you don't even know what that is, man. You're like, okay, way when the dinosaurs roamed the earth, there was this thing called Windows XP. And so imagine you've got this slow computer. It does nothing. It keeps crashing and it does nothing. And then I say to you, okay, you know what, brother, you know what, sister, we love you. And so here you are. Here is a brand new top of the range Apple laptop. Apple laptop. And so you're like, oh, he's giving it to me. Now, think about this now. If I said to you, okay, what I need you to do is sweep the whole church for a month, and then I'll pay you £1,000, and then you can go and buy that laptop. How many know you've worked, you've earned, and that laptop is not a gift? You worked, and then you got the laptop. You worked so that you could get it. We understand that. How many of you understand it? How many of you have jobs here? Okay, at the end of the month, they better pay you, amen? Otherwise, it's going to be game on. HR's going to see war face. And so that's the reality. So you work and you expect a wage. So you're working and then you get something. But this is the different scenario. If I give you the laptop as a gift, did you work for it? No. But when you open it and turn it on, you're like, I'm not used to this system. I need to work it out. I need to work out how to use it. I need to actually study a bit so that I can get things going. And in the beginning, I'm not as productive as I was on the old system. I was quicker on the old system, but I'm learning the new system. But as I learn and as I put myself into it, I work out what to do and I get quicker and more productive on this new system. That is what you should do with your Christianity. You didn't work to get your Christianity. The day you got saved, you was qualified, but now you need to work out your qualification. You need to work out how someone who has been qualified should live. You need to work out what a qualified person says, what a qualified person does, where they go. Too many people, they're not working out their salvation. This is what needs to be done. See, the Bible says that in our text that in Christ we have been qualified for an inheritance. Think about this now. This is so, so counterintuitive to everything else that we know. That the moment you put your trust in Jesus, he gives you a qualification. That you know you're unqualified for righteousness. But the day, you could look at me and I could look at you and we could see faults. You ain't that, you ain't all this, you ain't all that, you ain't all this. But the moment you got saved, all of that stopped. And God said, you're qualified. You're qualified. How many know that we should give God thanks? We should give God thanks. He says that we've been qualified for an inheritance. He uses the word inheritance. That means the inheritance is the blessings of God. God is moving on your life. That's because Christ has qualified you for an inheritance. You're being blessed right now because Christ has qualified you. Don't walk around with your blessing like it was you. It was Christ. Don't think, oh, it's my prayer life and my Bible reading and my faithfulness and everything did this. No, it was Christ who qualified you. You now have relationship with God. Ultimately, when you die, if you are truly saved and you've put your trust in Christ, then heaven is your inheritance. Inheritance is something that you do not earn. You don't earn an inheritance. You're born into an inheritance. You're born into it. This is why we talk about you, bro. Are you born again? Sis, are you born again? Well, I go to church. No, no, no. You need to be born into this. Because you've got to be one of the family to get the inheritance. My name is Lowe, Courtney Lowe. It's actually Courtney Anthony Sean Sebastian Lowe, but we won't go there. And so think about this now. I am a Lowe. I was born a Lowe. I didn't buy it. I didn't earn it. I didn't get it off eBay, Amazon. I didn't get to a point where I did a certain performance and then they said, now you're a Lowe. You've done really well now. Now you can really be a Lowe. No, I'm just as much as a Lowe as my dad is a Lowe. I was born Courtney Lowe. That was it. I was born into it. See, there was a time when men, this time is long gone, but there was a time when men would have sons and they would have pride in their sons, and what they would say to their son is, listen, you're a Lowe. That name means something. You need to carry yourself a certain way, because when people see a Lowe, they know that here is a man who respects himself. Here is a man whose word is his bond. If you say you're going to do something, son, do it, because this is what it is. You're just like my dad before me and his dad before him. There's a high expectation. When you owe somebody something, pay it up. That name, there was a time when a man would say to his son, listen, this is your name. That name means something. Now, the son didn't earn the name, but the dad is telling the son, live up to your name. Live up to your name. This is why last week when we looked at the passage, before the passage we're examining now, it speaks about walking worthy of the Lord. What that means is live up to your name. You need to live as a Christian. You are a Christian. You carry the name of Christ. So you should now live up to that name. Now people will be like, yeah, do I have to do this to be a Christian? No, you don't. No, we know that you've been saved. We know that you've been made righteous. You're saved. We're not bringing into question your salvation yet. What we're saying is, if you are saved, live up to that name. Live up to that name. Jesus has given it to you freely. He saved you. Think about it now. A sinner can come into the presence of God, be convicted, bow their knee and say, Father, be merciful to me, a sinner. I put my trust in you. I repent of my sin. Bam! They're qualified. They're going to heaven. They haven't done one righteous thing. They haven't witnessed to anybody. They haven't read any scriptures. They haven't prayed yet. They haven't done anything mighty, but they put their trust in Jesus. And the Bible says, instantaneous, they are qualified. But is it to say, okay, now live as you did before you came in? No, no, no. Now you live under a new name. You should live different. You need to walk honorable. See, because in our text, he says he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his son, of his love. He's brought us actually into his family. When you got saved, you came into the family of God. You know when people really love you, they bring you into their family. Have you ever been to someone's house and they're just one of those kind of loving people? Hey, come in, sit where you want to. So I do, no, just come in. Go in the fridge and have it. They make you one of the family. The Bible says when you got saved and when I got saved, God brought us in and he said, listen, you was in that kingdom of darkness where you was a slave to the devil's sin. You was under the bondage of lying and you had to do everything the devil wanted you to do, living under insecurity and bondage and curses. And Christ has conveyed us. He's taken us from that instantaneous and qualified us to be in his family. You are now in the family of God. You are now in the family of God. He says he's conveyed us. The word convey is to translate, or we could use the word to transferred. You've been transferred. We know this language. Say that you play for Liverpool, and then eventually you don't want to play for Liverpool no more, and you want to go play for Arsenal. Why you would do that, I don't know. Now, I'm just saying it because I just don't know anything about football, so. That wasn't a, no, anyway. And so what they do is when they move a team, they call it what? A transfer. The Bible says in Christ, you've had a transfer. Christ paid your transfer fee. His blood paid the transfer fee. You was playing for a team that was losing. It's going to be relegated to the bottom of the bottom of the bottom. They were going to kick it out. They were going to die. It was going to be finished. And then imagine a guy that's on the bottom team doing nothing, getting paid maybe £30 a month for turning up, and they transfer him to the top team. Now he's getting paid, I don't know, something ridiculous, $400,000 a week. Think of how he would feel. Oh, yes. Think of how he'd be thanking. Be thankful. The Bible says you've been transferred from darkness. The team you was playing on was going to hell. The team you was playing on is going to hell on their team bus. That bus is going to hell. That team bus is going to drive off a cliff. And you may be on the bus right now singing songs. But that bus is going to hell at the end of it. And if you knew that bus was going to hell and you're on that team and Christ said, listen, I want to do a transfer. I'm in a contract. I can't. Christ says, listen, I'm going to pay. I'm going to get you out of that. I'm going to take your place. And Christ got on the bus, knowing that bus would end. If you play for Liverpool and you get transferred to Arsenal, how many know you don't wear the Liverpool kit no more? I've never seen that. I'm not a football man, but put up your hand if you've ever seen anybody that was transferred from one team to another and then they came on the pitch with the old team. Yeah, all right. Big up, Regin. No, it doesn't happen. How many know we need to take off some of the old things? That's for the old team. How many know we don't play? You don't train at the same stadium no more. You don't go to the same training ground anymore. You're at a new training ground. When the old team scores a goal, you don't feel the same way you used to when you was on their team. Now you're on a new team. You want to see the new team score goals. See, could some of us have been transferred, but we're still wearing the old kit, training on the old pitch, rooting for the old team? But God doesn't throw you away. He says, listen, you've been transferred. See, he uses the word deliver. He has delivered us. The word deliver means freed. That means, think about it now. We said that Christ has qualified us for heaven, even though we haven't done anything yet. And so now, how do I live this new life? And if we're honest here, how many know living the new life is the difficult part? You know, I mean, I'm going to heaven, but now living this new life is the difficult part. Really being a real Christian is the hard part. But the Bible says, listen, what God has not only done, he's not only pardoned you, he's freed you. That means he's delivered you from the power that had you live in the old way. This is why you got to work out. You need to work out that you're delivered. You're delivered already. You can live a new life. Do you know why we live the old life? It's in here. Because the devil lies to us until tells us, no, you'll only be happy with the old things. No, we've been delivered. You know, from time to time, people have come in the church and they said, do you do deliverance ministry? I said, yeah. Come to the altar, bow your knee, pray, accept Jesus, you'll be delivered. People, no, I'm a Christian, but I'm not delivered. So wait a minute, hold up, you're saved, but you're not saved. Because the word delivered means you're saved. How can you be saved and not saved? What it is that many people don't know they're delivered. See, this is being delivered is not a one-time thing. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10. Look what he says here. He says, he has delivered us, so that's past tense, from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom. That's past tense. Now look at this. It's a different scripture. who delivered us, again, this is past tense, from so great a death, and does deliver us, that's right now, he's doing it now, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. So what do we see there? We see he's done it in the past, he's doing it now, he'll do it in the future. This is how God operates. This is who he is. What this means is our salvation is freedom from the past, strength for now, hope for the future. Your salvation is freedom from your past, strength to live right today, hope for your future. I'm going to repeat that because you better understand this as a Christian. Your salvation is freedom from your past. Once you'd say this, I can't do that because I used to do this. You're not understanding. You've been delivered. It means strength for now. If you're in a battle right now and you say, I can't do this. Well, let me tell you this now. You don't understand you've been delivered because you have strength to do what you need to do now. I don't know if down the road I'll make it. You can know that because you have hope for the future. Let me close with this. Jesus is the only one qualified to give us our qualification. You receive qualifications from someone who's qualified. How many know that's the truth? How many know you can't just roll up in here? How you know I can't just come here now and say, okay, you're a doctor. That's it. You're a doctor from now on. So it's Dr. Kenny now. And so if anybody's got any pain or anything, just go see Dr. Kenny. How many know that's not legitimate? Because what? I am not qualified to give out qualifications. Let me just say this. Jesus is the only one qualified to qualify us. Can I tell you, your mom and daddy cannot qualify you. Just because they went to church and had a big old Bible and had it open on the coffee table to the 23rd Psalm, that doesn't mean you're qualified. They can't qualify you. Because they're sinners. Huh? Well, calling my mom a sinner. Yeah, she's a sinner. And so is your dad. So is mine. My mom is a sinner. My dad is a sinner. They can't qualify you. They may love you. You're their baby boy, their baby girl. They spoil you. They say everything nice about you. But I tell you one thing is, they can't qualify you. Your friends can't qualify you. They may like you. They may think you're trendy. They may think you're fart. You're smart. Not fart. Is that what? I don't know. Maybe they might. They may think you're smart. Please, we don't want that here today. Wait till you get outside. Amen. They may think you're clever. They may think you're beautiful. But how many know they can't qualify you? They can't qualify you. The priest can't qualify you. You know, listen, be very careful. You don't live like a devil and then at your funeral, the priest says, oh, he was a wonderful boy. Can I tell you, you are going to the darkest part of hell. That priest cannot do nothing for you. The pastor cannot qualify you. I can't qualify you. No religious teacher, no prophet can qualify you. Muhammad can't qualify you. Buddha can't qualify you. No teaching from Confucius, Nostradamus, no deepness from any philosophy can qualify you. Only Jesus is the one who can qualify us. I'm going to end with this. Three things why Jesus can qualify us. Jesus can qualify us because he's the only one that lives sinless. Hebrews 4 verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but with all points was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Do you know why no one else can qualify you? Because they've already disqualified themselves by their own sin. Christ is the only one who never sinned. Study any book. There is no one else that would make such a bodacious claim. to say that they've never sinned. Christ is the only one. The Bible says it. People can debate this, debate that, debate his name, debate this. But the Bible tells us straight up that Christ never sinned. People say, oh, some of the churches believe this, some of the churches believe that. They say, oh, but there's this translation of the Bible and that translation of the Bible. You could put them all together. All of them consistently will say Christ never sinned. He is the only one that can qualify you. Second reason why Christ is the only one can qualify us, because Christ qualifies us because he is God and he is able to forgive sin. The Bible says in John 8 verse 58, Jesus said, say Jesus said. Jesus. So we know this is going to be truth. Most assuredly, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Speaking about the name of God that God revealed to Moses in the burning bush. I am that I am. This is why people say, well, no, he was saying I am, and then he got interrupted. He was going to say, yeah, I'm bad or something. Listen, that's a nonsense. It doesn't have that in the Greek. Not only that, if that's what he was going to do, why then did they want to stone him after he said that? Not only did Jesus say that I am, look what he did in Luke 5 verse 24. But that you may know that the Son of Man, speaking of himself, has power on earth to forgive sins. Never has a man ever said that he has the power to forgive sins. Only the spotless Son of God, Jesus Christ, can forgive sins. The last reason why we understand that Christ can forgive sins, because he is the only sinless man who ever died for sinners. In our text, the last bit of our text in Colossians 1, verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We have redemption through the forgiveness of sins. His blood, this spotless sacrifice, died for sinners. Muhammad can't die for you because he himself sinned. Buddha can't die for you because he himself sinned. I can't die for you because I've sinned. You can't die for me because you've sinned. We needed a sinless sacrifice, someone who didn't have to die. And that is Jesus. And Paul begins this text in Colossians by saying, give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. See, when you really realize this and you allow this to impact your life on a deep level, you say, God, I thank you that I'm qualified. I thank you I'm qualified. Before I'd done anything, I just put my trust in you and you've qualified me. And now, give me the strength to live up to that qualification. Give me the strength. And Paul says, we should give thanks. See, if your worship is waning, If your worship is not powerful, if your worship is weak, if you're finding it hard to motivate yourself to worship, revisit this. Revisit this. This is what you have to have. Maybe, I'm just saying, maybe you're not qualified yet. Maybe you haven't understood this yet. You've participated in some of our religious gatherings, but have you participated in the atoning sacrifice of what Christ did on the cross? Has that become part of you? Paul says, let's give thanks. Let's give Jesus a clap offering of praise right now. Let's thank him. You thank him out of your own words for what he has done for you.